WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. New details in the Gilgo Beach murders on Long Island, New York. Law enforcement sources tell CBS News the investigation has spread to New Jersey, South Carolina, and Nevada. Police are trying to determine if suspect Rex Huerman is connected to other unsolved murders. He's charged with killing three women. WCBS-TV's Carolyn Gussoff.
Sources tell CBS investigators believe he killed at least one of his victims at his house, where Thursday police were seen with pieces of lumber. Huerman's family has not responded to requests for comment, but his wife filed for divorce Wednesday.
There is a heat dome engulfing much of the nation, and it's showing no signs of letting up. CBS's Carter Evans reports from Palm Springs, California.
There are not really many people outside, and that's one thing that I've noticed all day out here. The streets are empty. People are pretty much staying inside to stay cool. A lot of outdoor restaurants here, a lot of outdoor tables. None of them are full.
Dave Skane with AAA has a tip to avoid an unpleasant experience when getting into a hot vehicle.
If you've got a hot interior and you have access to a towel or something you can lay over your seat to keep it a little cool, so when you get in it and sit down, you're not sitting on a blazing hot seat. That'll be helpful for driver comfort.
Dan Snyder agrees to pay a $60 million fine after the NFL says an investigation found that the outgoing Washington Commander, whose owner who sexually harassed an employee, and the team deliberately withheld money. That shortly after the announcement that NFL owners unanimously approved the sale of the Commanders from Snyder to a group led by Josh Harris for a record $6 billion.
We understand that we need to win championships, create a positive impact on the community, and create incredible memories and great experiences for our fan base, much like I had as a youth growing up in Washington.
A lot of people grabbed the bottle when COVID gripped the nation. CBS's Wendy Gillette.
Alcohol-related deaths surged during the pandemic, going up more than 150% between 2018 and 2021 in Mississippi, the state with the largest increase, and almost 75% in Delaware.
A Florida jury reaches a verdict in the case of a little girl who was burned by a chicken McNugget. CBS's Jen Clark reports.
The Broward County jury took only 2 hours to deliberate, but the $800,000 ruling was much less than the $15 million the family had asked for. The girl's parents sued the local McDonald's, as well as the franchise owner, claiming that they were served an unreasonably hot McNugget. The girl dropped the 200-degree nugget in her lap in the backseat of her mom's car, which resulted in second-degree burns on her leg.
The U.S. House overwhelmingly passes a bill that would give the FAA more money to hire air traffic controllers and raises the mandatory retirement age. The Senate is working on its own version of the bill. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried New Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
This week at Macy's, get set for back to school with great savings on everything they need for the new year. Like head-to-toe active gear from top brands, graphic tees to wear with anything, and 40% off new backpacks and accessories from Kipling and more. Plus, Macy's Star Rewards members earn rewards on every purchase, except gift cards, services, and fees. Learn more at Macy's.com/Star Rewards. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Meet Ingrid. Fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows level off around 54. Overnight, under clear skies, winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Tomorrow, chance for isolated thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 81. Slight chance for scattered storms again. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 57. Partly cloudy skies.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 66.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Hey, Dan Kelly, you went around the state saying there had been fraud and the election should be overturned. You did that. You took $120,000 in pay from the Republican Party, not in a donation, pay. The most recent payment was in December, and we don't know if you're still being paid. And you've been endorsed by some of the biggest election deniers in the state. And you're shying to me with, I don't know how I'd rule. I know how you'd rule. I know how you'd rule.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Get to enjoy the great atmosphere of Maggie's.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut deep.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, you know, Haley, I hate to make you the odd person out, but this is going to be the Robert show. We have Robert Lilligren on, and we also have Bob Blake from Red Lake, which I always love to say, on a little later in the show, Robert Blake. And but I guess you're not going to be too much outnumbered, because what I'd like to do is we have an update from the governor of the great state of Wisconsin. And why don't we take a quick listen from Governor's Evers to start it out.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. Every Wisconsinite deserves access to clean, safe water, free of lead, PFAS, and other contaminants that have long been known to harm our kids, families, farmers, communities, and industries across our state. From declaring 2019 the year of clean drinking water and creating the state's PFAS Action Council, to filing a lawsuit against more than a dozen companies who contributed to PFAS contamination, my administration has been working to address water quality issues since day one, and I'm proud of the progress we made. I've also spent 4 years trying to get most of the Republican legislature to believe PFAS are a pressing threat to our state's economy, our health and well-being, and our way of life. And unfortunately, the work we must do to address PFAS and other contaminants grows harder and more expensive with each day of delay. So earlier this month, I was proud to sign a budget that included the first real and substantive Republican effort to address PFAS after years of inaction, with a $125 million investment to address and prevent PFAS contamination statewide. This budget also builds on our work to ensure Wisconsinites have access to clean water by providing $1 million to help private well owners clean up or replace contaminated wells, $4 million for the Urban Nonpoint and Municipal Flood Control Program, and $6.5 million for grants under the Targeted Runoff Management Program. At the end of the day, we have to make sure that every Wisconsinite has access to clean, safe water, no matter whether it's for drinking in our homes and schools, for our crops or livestock, or our natural waters for hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation. And I know that together, we will. Thanks for listening. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio. Hey there.
Hey, thanks, Governor Evers. Really appreciate that. And we welcome Robert Lilligren, a Native American Community Development Institute, our normal Thursday person. And Robert, I just got to say a big peeny geegee. Thank you for stepping in and hosting the rest of the show. You did an awesome job as I was listening to it on my way to my appointment. So Brown Institute, big applause for you.
Thanks, Robert. And miigwech to Haley for all of her technical support and really to the guest. Angela Two Stars, the artist, and our all my relations arts director. She is just so interesting. I could talk to her all night long.
Yeah, she did an awesome job. You're absolutely right. Hey, before we get going with our conversation that we both spent hours looking up things to...
decades preparing for this conversation.
Right. I just want to let everybody know it's a really interesting thing about what PFAS is, what the governor talked about, and it's used to make household and commercial products that resist heat and chemical reaction and repel oil, stains, grease, and water. These are like major chemicals that are found in the water, and I've heard more and more about that, Robert. I don't know if you have, but it's real interesting that the governor's talking about that and fighting that in Wisconsin.
I agree. It's just very, it's interesting, you know, more and more of these chemicals that that we're using, the forever chemicals, and we need to figure out how to remediate them, right? And so it was encouraging to hear Governor Evers talk about the legislation he signed. And if I heard him correctly, it's the first PFAS program in Wisconsin. So it seems kind of surprising that it would be the first this kind of late in the game, but there can't be a second or a third or a fourth until there's a first. So good news.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, our struggles with our relatives in Wisconsin, I think, have slowed things down. And we've had some Republican governors over there in the past, and we won't get into that right now. But we're just glad that, first, Governor Evers is there, and second, that he's sending us updates.
Agree. I think that's really a very considerate thing for him to do, and shows that he's really trying to reach out to a lot of communities that he represents. I give him credit for that.
Yeah, definitely. Really a nice guy. And Arvina talks about him, who Arvina is. She, matter of fact, guest host last week. She was first Madison Native American city council person. And she calls him our Mr. Rogers.
I'm sure out of affection. I'm sure
right, that's an affectionate. Yeah, definitely in a good way, for sure, for sure. And yeah, I've gotten that mellow vibe, and I do believe he's a former teacher too. So there's a lot of good things there. Well, hey, I saw you today. What a beautiful day
to
be on the avenue. Really, and our Ho-Chunk, a relative there helping you run that Destiny, is just doing a bang up job this year. And I speak of the Four Sisters Market.
Yeah, our Four Sisters Farmers Market every Thursday, 11 to 3, right on Franklin and 15th in our building where Powell Grounds Coffee Shop is, our All My Relations Arts Gallery, our offices. And it is just a happening place. We had a Native brother spinning discs, and he has this niche collection of Native people in recording studios from maybe the 60s, 70s, 80s to today. And so some really interesting vintage stuff that he was spinning. And it's just a place to sort of see and be seen in the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
And he
I'm sad to have missed that today. I wasn't able to make it out there. I know I had to take care of the grass. Was getting pretty crazy today. So
and it just grows and grows every week. It's just
we got rain last night though, which was good. Did you guys get rain over there in St. Paul?
A sprinkle in Minneapolis. A sprinkle.
Oh yeah,
two flashes of lightning and a sprinkle of rain.
It got scared, and he's literally was spinning albums, the old school. And I went up and talked to him because I have some collector albums of tribes that people have sent me over. But he was speaking upon just his own tribe he was collecting, which I thought was interesting too.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. Nice.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either because I was like, hey, I got this. But he was like, he didn't care. He wanted one of those Lakota singers to be playing out there, but it was cool, very cool, nice background. It was a nice volume too, you know, you could still talk and hang out, and it's just it's a great place to really connect. And I ran into not only his Destiny, but there was two other Ho-Chunks that I ran into, Wendy Holgamo, probably shouldn't say her last name, Wendy, and
I didn't even see Wendy there. I didn't even see her. I must have missed her.
Yeah, she was there for some chow. She was getting for her and her dad, but I had an opportunity to talk to her, having a good little conversation, and then a couple other Ho-Chunks. But it's great. We can talk a little bit more about that, Robert, and maybe some updates. We got two more segments with you, so we'll talk a little slower if we don't have enough content.
Oh, wow. That sounds good.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. We'll be right back.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Even though the public COVID-19 emergency might be over, it's still important to stay up to date on vaccinations. And if you're like most people, you probably need a refresher on who should get vaccinated and when. So here's the bottom line. If you're 6 years or older, aim for that one updated COVID-19 vaccine. It doesn't matter if you've had a previous vaccine or not. You're still in the game. Now, if you're 65 or older, you've got the green light for one extra dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Just wait 4 months after your first updated dose, and you're good to go. And for the little ones, children between 6 months and 5 years may need multiple doses, including at least one of the updated vaccines, based on their age and previous doses. Remember, always stay informed and reach out to healthcare professionals for personalized guidance. Didn't catch all of that? You can find all of the updated COVID vaccine information at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, White Earth Ojibwe citizen, and all around a groovy dude. We're here having our own little conversation. It was fun. We were trying to explain people that we've been doing this, you and I, for a while on Native Roots Radio. And when we were a 2-hour show on Saturdays, we used to have to set aside an hour for our 10-minute segment because we just were talking and having a good time and talking about, well, you know, I think we were talking a lot about how well we see the future and the young ones coming up behind us, and the future looking bright. It was a lot of the times our conversation.
Agree. And now we kind of bring that conversation onto the air, right? We did all, we used to do all this backgrounding and as a fact checking for our 10-minute pre-recorded segment. Now that we're live, we're just going to throw caution to the wind and do, just put it all out there. Very authentic conversation.
Yeah, definitely. And so I always like to pull what Wendy always says, and I bring this up too with Dr. Stately when he's on. Ask Robert what he wants to talk about is what Wendy will send me a note across the table here. And so what I'm going to do, Robert, is going to, you know, ask a little bit of what you want to talk about. And I know I was feeling really bad that I missed the opening at the opening art exhibit.
Yeah. So one of the things my organization does on the American Indian Culture Corridor is we operate All My Relations Arts Gallery. And it's a bigger program, too. But our gallery is this small but mighty space. It's really launched careers of a lot of internationally famous Native artists. And we had a new exhibition open. And Angela Two Stars, who's the director of All My Relations Arts, and I talked about this a bit last week. But it's this great new exhibition by a Native artist, Laura Young Bird, from Grand Portage. And it's called, in English, My Heart Hurts. In Ojibwe, it's Indo-Wisagandam, or something close to that. And it's just as powerful as can be. And Laura Young Bird, the artist, was down and did an artist talk. We had an opening reception last Friday. But if anyone's in the area, I would strongly encourage you to come on down. The show's up till September 9th. Mm-hmm. All My Relations Arts, right on East Franklin Avenue and 15th Street in South Minneapolis. And did you get a chance to look at the exhibit?
Yeah, I did. I was in there for a little bit, but you know, my ADHD was running wild because I was trying to get out of there real quickly. I had to drop off a couple things, and a half hour later, I got to leave. But
that happens around there. And Laura Youngbird uses a lot of imagery of the dress, you know, from reminiscent of photos of her grandmother, or her mother used to make her clothes and their dresses. And so dresses, and of course, red dresses evoke so much in the community about missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives. And so it's powerful, and it was great. I love going to the artist talks and hearing the artist talk about their inspirations.
Yeah, you know, I have to say this too, because I think there's a lot of fans out there. During the Four Sisters Market, there's almost every week there is a famous author that's there. And really a big seller. And we've had her on the show.
Marcy Rendon, yeah.
Yeah, so if you ever want to get an autographed copy, and I was just thinking about that, Robert, if you ever want to get an autographed copy or buy one of her books, she is there.
She's a vendor at the Four Sisters. Yeah, almost every week. Her daughter, Simone Rendon, is one of our vendors and sells her own line of food. And I'm actually looking at Marcy Rendon's book right here because I have it teed up to read next, Murder on the Red River.
Yeah.
That's going to be my next read. So, yeah. And she's big time, right? Probably award-winning, famous author.
And we had her daughter on too, and I know we were talking earlier a couple weeks ago that one of the TV stations here had a real shoot. I mean, it was 5-6 minutes piece on her and her jellies and jams and how she makes those. And what was the thing that you liked? I can't remember.
She forages these like pine cones, and then she makes pine cone cookies, and they're amazing. I didn't know that you could eat pine cones, but it's a thing, and they're delicious.
When they were on television, so Destiny, our market manager, Ho-Chunk's sister, Simone, and I don't think the hosts really liked the pine cone cookies.
Oh.
They tried them, but I think it was a little a little too Indigenous for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a huge segment. It promoted Simone's work, the mm-hmm. Versus Farmers Market.
Yeah.
Our little market is, you know, draws a lot of attention.
Yeah, yeah, and it's exciting. And, you know, there's people, and again, people driving by and honking, and it's like, who is that? And my next, you know, I can't see, but there's a lot of action happening there. And, you know, I just have to say this too, Robert, that avenue has changed so much and turned into the Native corridor in a really, really good way, because we're old enough to remember all the bars and all the things, yeah, and the riffraff, and it's a good vibe during the day there.
It's a great vibe, and it's really the community expressing itself. It's one of the few areas in the country, really, where you have a geography that is so strongly identified with the Native community. And, you know, it feels Native, the built architecture, the street furniture, and then the activation of it, right? The murals, the markets, the events, and then we have a couple of really important pieces of architecture coming online next year, next May. Our American Indian Center, Minneapolis American Indian Center, will open there. Newly renovated and expanded building. Wow. It's beautiful. And the Native American Community Clinic just up the block has started on their new building, which will combine community services and housing.
Yeah. We had Dr. Stately on yesterday, and the crazy things that are happening there, and all the work that the Native American Community Clinic does is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard, and I think you probably maybe run into this too with NACDI, is that it's hard to not be everything to everyone, but it's also a detriment too, because you can't focus in, and you know what I mean? I think the clinic has that problem, and there's so much to be done.
Right. There's so much need in the community, right? And we have a rich community of nonprofits and clinics that offer services to the Native community. I mean, it's wonderful to see. And Native American Community Clinic and Dr. Anthony Stately and their work is a great example of that. We have Indian Health Board and Urban Indian Health Urban Clinic. We have just from where we were standing today at Four Sisters Farmers Market, within maybe six blocks, there's 40 or 50 Native-serving organizations, tribes, educational institutions, and right there in this very definable part of South Minneapolis. And that's where we get the attraction for the American Indian Cultural Corridor, right? A destination in South Minneapolis, and it's feeling good. It's feeling good. And you know, we still have our troubles. I noticed just about a block from our offices, and could see a group of our unsheltered relatives mobilizing and establishing a new encampment there. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're always kind of moving around, and you know, they're part of our community too, right? Absolutely. And we work to figure out how to best support and serve our relatives living without shelter.
Yeah, I mean, what a great point, too. They are part of our community. And, you know, one of the things, too, that we see people that look like us all up and down the avenue, and also, you know, at the market and at the doctors, at the library. I mean, there's just so much going on there in such a good way. But, you know, I want to keep you for another segment and a half if you have time. I do want you to talk about what you'd like to talk about, Robert, because I kind of tricked you there. I was asked you to talk about what you wanted to talk about, and then I went into a question. So I want you to be able to speak your truth.
All right. It sounds good.
Well, we still have a minute left. Well,
okay. I thought you were transitioning us out. So
I would have been a good transition.
Your last point, you know, after I left my office today, then I went a block or maybe two to a tribally owned pharmacy, Meshkiki Wakaigan Medicine House. And they, it's this great model where, as a tribal citizen or a Native person, I don't have to pay. You know, I use my insurance, and then they have a model that's...
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. There'll be a new food truck option in Stevens Point starting tomorrow.
UWSP is taking its culinary expertise to the streets with Stevie's Food Truck. They'll offer everything from snacks and beverages to full course meal options. The food truck will debut at the Stevens Point Brewery Point Patio on Friday, July 21st. On the 22nd, Stevie's Food Truck will be at the Rochelle Bike Festival downtown. A single Powerball winner has claimed the jackpot. Pete Schwaba has the info.
The dream is over. There is a single winner in last night's Powerball drawing. The winning ticket was sold in Los Angeles, California at a Las Palmitas mini mart. Last minute ticket sales made the jackpot just over $1 billion, the third largest in the history of Powerball.
The Rafters will play the Battle Jacks in a two-game series starting tonight at Witter Field. First pitch at 6:35. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's matchingdonors.com. Matchingdonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit matchingdonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. Matchingdonors.com.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows level off around 54 overnight under clear skies, winds out of the north 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Chance for isolated thunderstorms, daytime highs approaching 81. Slight chance for scattered storms again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 57. Partly cloudy skies.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 66.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Walker tweeting about Ronald Reagan taught us there's never been a bigger bunch of balderdash ever perpetrated.
We'll be right back.
back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and we're wrapping it up with a little bit here with Robert. And Robert, again, what would you like to talk about?
Why don't you tell me, Robert? You're so good at it.
The good one.
What I want to talk about. I mean, we could talk about anything. We haven't touched on any national kind of topics, but there's right. The pending criminal charges toward Trump. There's the 16 fake electors from Michigan that are now getting criminally charged. And this is all very interesting. So I'm happy to go in that direction or continue to talk about local stuff. But there's one kind of national thing, you know, or a national data point that I haven't really seen a lot in the media. And I just wanted to lift that up. And, you know, folks know, or you know, I'm still part of government. I'm a representative on our regional government, the Metropolitan Council. And, you know, we're just now preparing to start doing our 2050 comprehensive plans throughout this region. And we're in this era where things like COVID and the whole pandemic response has left us really uncertain about what the future is going to be like. And of course, then George Floyd's murder here just changed everything, or sort of turbocharged everything. So we're just in this kind of confusing place where we can't really look to the past to gauge what the future will be in development in the region or transit use. You know, we run the transit system, wastewater use. It's just a time of uncertainty. Yeah. So one of the things that a lot of folks did during the pandemic and the stay-at-home period was just kind of predict the doom of central cities. You know, no one's going to go back to work, and you're not going to need any transit, and cities are just going to die. And we're just seeing different kinds of things happen within cities and in workplaces. Right. And one of the data points that I think is really, really interesting is women in the workforce. And of course, women left the workforce at much higher rates because suddenly they had to fall into these roles of caregivers and educators, and they left the workplace, and there was a lot of progress loss. Like, I think it was like 50 years of advancement of women in the workplace. And now what's happening is that women have not only returned to the workplace, they've returned to the workplace in a strong way where women's participation in the workplace is higher than it was before COVID. And that's just a fact.
Yeah.
You know, and so there was all this concern that, oh, women will never make up the lost ground from the COVID era. Well, women have more than made it up. And another tidbit or another little fact is that the gender pay gap is now the narrowest ever.
Wow.
The narrowest on record. And it's still not closed. A woman earns now 85 cents for a dollar a man earns, but that's up. It's the smallest pay gap in our history. And I just think that's interesting. And so, you know, we have these crises and these catastrophes like a pandemic, and then all of a sudden we're seeing kind of progress made as we recover.
Right. Well, you know, the word crisis comes from the Chinese symbol that is merged, a dangerous win and opportunity. Every crisis is a dangerous opportunity, as we both know.
Yep, and so I guess it maybe is dangerous to the status quo. And that's just fine with me.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, these things, you know, our economy is doing well, or, you know, unemployment is down. There's these positive things going on, and they just never really reverberate through a lot of the media. And that was just one that's really caught my attention this week.
Well, Robert, I have Robert in the bullpen here, and I want to really thank you for all the work you do. And it's always good to see you, and it's always really good to see you here on Native Roots Radio, because we have fun, and it's also very informative for our listeners what's going around here in the Twin Cities and Indian Country and our perspective on the news.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here. See you, Haley.
We'll see you soon, Robert. Hey, speaking, we have Bob Blake from Red Lake. Good to see you, Robert, with the Solar Bear, with the Solar News. How's it going, my man? I see your lips are moving, but I don't hear anything. This is, where's my mute? Where's my?
There you go. That I had my mute button on.
Sorry, see my coffee that cup there.
Yep. You're on mute. Yep, I got that. Hey, everyone. The Solar Bear with the Solar News here. Hey, Robert. The hottest day ever has been recorded out in Death Valley, California.
Yes.
And it was at 134 degrees. And I think this is interesting because this relates to a lot of what you and Robert Lilligan were talking about. And about cities and, you know, how, you know, there was that interesting mention about people are moving away from cities or they're moving back in. You know, there's this demographic change. Well, right. You know, I think, you know, with climate change, it's going to really affect a lot of different, you know, aspects of city life because, you know, if you just recently saw the news, out in, I believe it was Phoenix, Arizona, an overnight temperature, Robert, was 95 degrees. I mean, how does the human body cool down, you know, from the day, right? And mm-hmm. so... You know, I think these are some really interesting conversations because, you know, we have to start considering, you know, how do we best address this, especially in cities. And one of the things that you know, Robert, I ran for city council. And right. one of the that what I was advocating for was, you know, glow in the dark bike lanes yeah. around the city. Because I think that's going to make our communities more safer because it's going to get more people out using bikes. And trust me, kids are just going to love riding glow in the dark bike lanes. You know, that's just one thing. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is I think in a lot of these abandoned lots where we have, you know, properties that are up for sale and they're not for sale or, you know, whatever, abandoned properties too. But yeah. in these green spaces, we really talk about maybe putting in city gardens and bringing communities together through food, through growing gardens, through, you know, breaking bread with one another. And what happens is that these gardens end up becoming, you know, carbon sinks, so to mm-hmm. speak. And they become air conditioners for the city themselves because it's going to keep these areas cool at night. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So Nina's actually this is right, and so that's really what a lot of, you know, those kinds of gardens can do, and I think those are great ways to bring community together, make it safer, also a great way to get to know your neighbor, but also, you know, because of all the concrete that we have in the city, and that traps the heat, that I think we're going to have to really start thinking outside the box, you know, as cities. And looking at this as potential ways of fighting the extreme effects of heat that are going to be affecting our cities in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm. It's always warmer in the cities, Robert, anyways, whether it's the buildings are keeping the heat in, but now it's really getting horrific. And also what Nina said, that it was crazy when the desert can't cool off at night. And that's a unbelievable statement, but so true.
Yeah, and I think that those are really issues that, because, you know, and I always tell people, or I always, you know, go back to when those individuals were in Chicago and they died in their apartments. And it was literally because they cooked to death. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because of the heat from the outside in the apartments, and that the heat wave just, you know, and of course they wanted to keep their windows closed because they're afraid of somebody breaking in and, you know, causing them harm. But they also wanted to try and keep what little cold air they had. So, But those are some of the things that I think that we really have to seriously think about. As we have these extreme heat waves, they're going to become more and more prevalent and, you know, a bigger piece of our everyday life going forward.
Yeah. And, you know, remember this last winter here in Minnesota, we had the third largest snowfall in recorded history. And then we had flooding, and then we haven't had hardly any rain to speak of since then. So the rivers and lakes are low. And so it kind of lulls us into sleep going, oh, look at all this moisture here in snow. But you have to keep it going, and Mayflowers, you know, April showers bring Mayflowers, and we haven't had a spring in so, so long here in Minnesota. It just either jumps right to summer, where we had over 90 degree weather, in early April, May.
Yeah, absolutely, Robert. And so, you know, the jet stream is obviously, you know, not, you know, I would say normal into what we would usually think it is. And that's because of climate change, man-made climate change. And so that jet stream is knocked off. And so it's bringing down colder air a lot sooner than we expected. It's our winters are starting later. There's more moisture that is being picked up from the West Coast. It's being dropped into the East Coast now. So imagine big lakes up in the atmosphere that are coming down on the East Coast. And that's why you have all this flooding right now. Mm-hmm. And you have all this dry weather, all these fires that are going to be happening here on the Western side, because it's picking up all the moisture and dropping it down on the Eastern side of the United States. So, these are all situations that we're going to have to get our heads wrapped around. And it's obviously something that I think is going to be a part of what you and Robert were just recently talking about. And it's going to affect that too.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Robert, we got to take a quick break here. And then we'll talk more Solar Bear with the Solar News, and maybe rename the show Robert's Native Roots Radio. Oh, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, along with Robert Blake and earlier Robert Lilligren. Sorry, Haley. We'll change your name to Robert here.
Roberta.
There you go. Oh, we'll be right back after this short break. Please.
Stay with us.
Hey.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Your neighbors are talking about the Blue Line Extension, connecting North Minneapolis, Crystal, Robbinsdale, and Brooklyn Park to the light rail transit system.
I feel like a lot of times people, when they think about transit, it's like, well, it's a bus, it's a train, it's whatever. But it really isn't. It's a lifeline for many communities, and it feels like something that we really need here.
Hear more of this story and others at yourblueline.org.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, we had a half-muted Bob Blake wolf howling. That was good. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I'm here with Robert Blake and the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're talking about some real stuff, real issues here. And sometimes, Robert, it's hard to hear, hard to listen to because it's so real and in our face, you know, and you can't deny it, even though there may be a portion of our society that wants to deny it. I mean, I would never thought that we would have fires in Canada would affect us here in Minnesota, but all over the United States too.
Well, you know, and I think that's what Native people have always known, right? Everything is connected, and you know, it really is, Robert. I don't even want to know all this. I mean, I scare myself knowing all this. You want to, and it's almost discouraging sometimes, but. Like, you know that, you know, the opportunity is there for us to really change our future if we want to. And, you know, that movie, Don't Look Up, with Leonardo DiCaprio and, you know, all that star-studded cast, that was such a great play on, like, the climate change issue.
Right.
Like, you know, it's obviously right there. We can see it. They could see the comet coming at the planet, but yet we still don't want to acknowledge that this is going to happen. You know what I mean? Yeah. We see the fires, we see the flooding, we see all the natural disasters, we see the tornadoes. I was out at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory a couple of weeks ago, and I had one of the meteorologists telling me, oh, we can't predict, we can't tell you if the tornadoes are more stronger, you know, scientifically because of climate change. And I got up and I said, don't tell these people that. Do not say that. That is wrong to say that. We can't tell that the tornadoes are more frequent and they are stronger because of climate change. Do not say that. Take that back. Right. This meteorologist did not take it back, but she did say, she goes, well, they are happening more frequently, we are seeing. Okay, give me that at least. Yeah. Don't tell me I'm a liar in front of all these people. But like, these are the individuals that are out there sitting there saying and telling people that everything's okay when they know that the science is telling them something different. As a matter of fact, Robert, this goes into the next story about the United States Army and how the Army is looking at climate change in the future. Yeah. And get this, Robert, the U.S. Army's climate strategy was announced last year, okay? Mm-hmm. And it included a pledge to add a microgrid in every one of its hundreds of installations by 2035. Every Army base across this country is now slated to get a microgrid. Now, when I tell you this, Robert, what does the Army know that the rest of society doesn't know if they're moving on this action now around, you know, climate change, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And what I'm saying,
Robert, is don't believe me. Look at what the United States Army is doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, don't listen to the Solar Bear. Listen to the United States Army and look at what they're doing. They're telling you that this is a problem. We're preparing for it. And you should be, too. You know what I mean? You should be thinking about this. We should be voting in climate champions. I'm on the board of directors for the Minnesota Solar Energy Industry Association, Robert. Mm-hmm. We had State Representative Jamie Long yesterday talk to us about all the wonderful legislation that was passed in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And Minnesota is now, I mean, we're going to leapfrog every other state in the Midwest around climate change and around renewable energy issues with all of this positive, you know, legislation that came out from the state here. And it is exciting. It's going to be exciting. And I can't begin to tell you, Minnesota, all the great things that are going to be coming down the line and how we are going to be battling climate change and taking this, you know, head on.
And you'll be reporting on it. Hey, Robert, what was the name of that movie again that Leo was in again?
Oh, don't look up. Don't look up.
One of the most significant things in that movie, too, was that Leo was dating somebody his own age or was married to someone that was roughly his own age in there. I would just throw some humor in there real quick. Oh,
yeah, he's been known to date the models, actually.
But the actor that was playing his opposite, his wife, was his age. So it was like, good on you, Leo. One in a row.
Well, I'm sure he's got like a $1 billion bank account. I mean, makes him very attractive.
Just joking about him because he'll be starring in that next movie coming up with his buddy Marty Scorsese. That's coming up real soon. Flowers of the Moon.
Flowers of the Killer Moon. Robert, I'm glad you brought that up too because you know I would really because you know this goes out to tribal country. And I really want, you know, tribes to understand, you know, when you look at that situation that happened with the Osage in this movie, Flowers of the Killer Moon, you know, we see another opportunity that's happening here in tribal country right now around hydrogen projects, renewable energy projects, you know, energy projects that are going to bring a lot of wealth to Native country. And just like the oil brought a lot of wealth to the Osage in there, you know, there was a lot of greed. And there was a lot of, you know, backhanded dealings and everything like that. And so I just want tribal country to be well aware of the cautionary tale that is from this movie. I think it's a very I think the movie right now coming out is at a very significant time in tribal country with all the money coming into tribal country, flooding in to do renewable energy and energy development and how we as Native people, let's not like lose our values. You know, let's keep this, you know, let's understand that a lot of these people are experts in their field. Let's listen to them. Let's, you know, let's take their advice. Let's use what we can from them, but let's not like, you know, like our values, let's keep our value system in doing all this because I think Robert, that there is just going to be from my viewpoint, a lot of energy development in tribal country and a lot of dollars being passed around. And I just don't want, you know, I just don't want Native people to get hurt is really what I don't want to happen.
Well, absolutely. And I think even with the monies that was coming out earlier on broadband and things like that, a lot of Native communities learn the hard way to read the fine print, so to speak, because there's companies out there that know that there's money coming in Indian country and they might want to take an advantage of that. And so to have somebody like you with the energy as a consultant and the people that you work with to work with the community, and do you become your own energy company, or how do you partner in a good way with existing energy companies, and when do the batteries come in and when do you use them and when do you sell back, and all those things that your experience has really brought you to this point today that we all need to reach out to the experts when we're dealing with all this money coming into Indian country, so to speak.
Yeah, the devil's in the details. You know, that's the old saying, the devil is in the details. And like you said, Robert, reading that fine print, because there's a lot of individuals that are going to take advantage or try to take advantage of our people. And I just want them to be conscientious of that. And so that's why I say this movie with the Flowers of the Killer Moon. Wow, what a really kind of significant time does this thing come out and be a cautionary tale to Native country.
Exactly. Robert, really a good talking to you. I'm glad you were able to come on today and complete the trifecta of Roberts. But it's always good to see you, and I can't wait to reach out to you here in the next few days about what's happening and, you know, in our nation and things that are happening and in a good way, and the things that you're doing just to amplify how much you are helping other nations across the country. And so I appreciate our little time together once a week or once every other week, because you are the man, you are a doer. So Pini Gigi.
Thank you, Miigwech, Robert. Thank you for having me.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local. I can send you with a link.
Okay. Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.